I wonder what you do when you catch it. Would you help me welcome the campuses that are joining with us today? I welcome you today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. Wherever you're at today, thanks for being there. We welcome you today. We are excited about what God is doing through Love and Truth Churches, and we're glad that you're a part of that today. Let me just share with you something that I just shared here at our North Campus, and that is the addition to our staff and especially to our campus as the campus executive director, Pastor Jeff Butler, who is no stranger to Love and Truth Ministries, has been with us off and on for many, many years, and I just want to share that with you today and just get ready at all of our campuses. He's going to be showing up. You're going to be seeing him, hearing him, and we're just excited to have him as part of this ministry. Would you just join me in prayer today? Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that you have blessed us and that you have given unto us, your word says, exceeding great and precious promises. And so as we look at this whole subject today of responsibility and how that impacts us individually, help us to grab a hold of what you're saying to us so that we can move into everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. All right, today I'm going to talk about, in this whole aspect, here's the subject today if you're taking notes, and that is I want to talk to you about the purpose of provision. The purpose of provision. When you begin to study the Bible, what you find is that the Word of God talks about certain things over and over and over again. One of those things that the Word of God talks about is that the Word of God talks about prayer over and over again. In fact, there are somewhere around 500 verses in Scripture that deal with prayer. Another subject that Scripture talks about and that all of us as believers especially live by is faith. But honestly, when you begin to do the research, you find that there are less than 500 Scriptures that address the aspect of faith. But when you look at this subject of prosperity, provision, and money, what you find is that the Word of God addresses this subject over 2,000 times, four times as much as faith or prayer. God says, listen, this whole aspect, there is a responsibility that is given to you, especially to those of us who call ourselves believers, that God wants us to respond in a certain way. I want to read to you some verses of Scripture. One of them is out of the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. So if you have a Bible or if you have the Word of God downloaded on a smart device, go there. If you don't, just look at the screen because it's going to come up, okay? Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and the 16th verse says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to," see that next couple of words, "produce wealth," okay? He gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is this day. The verse right before that says, hey, don't think that you did this by yourself, that it's God who did this in you and through you. So kind of settle that today in your life. The book of Luke, I want to read you a few verses out of the book of Luke. Luke, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 10, where Jesus is talking here, and I want you to hear what Jesus said about provision, okay? He said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Okay? And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If you're dishonest in the small things, guess what? So he goes on to say, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? God says that it doesn't matter how much wealth you have in the natural, that's not true riches. He says spiritual things are true riches. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Remember last week we talked about that we are stewards, that we are dealing with somebody else's stuff. It's all God's. Anyway, then he goes on there in verse 13. Look at what he says. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Money, 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 money. right? You cannot serve both. You have to come to that place that you understand that you're not serving both of those. Now, when you begin to read the Bible and you see the word prosperity or provision, it's not just talking about financial things, okay? And so as we said last week, I want you to get that kind of down in your mind, in your heart. When we talk about prosperity, the Word of God talks about prosperity. It's talking about wellness and wholeness in every dimension of your life, spirit, soul, and body. The word Jehovah Shalom, we translate that as the Lord God, our peace, but that when you begin to look that up, what you find is that word means nothing missing and nothing broken in our lives. And so that's what we're talking about today, is that this divine provision has been given to us. A scripture that's used a lot of times in churches is 3 John verse 2 that says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Okay? And we love to talk about that, hey, I want you to prosper and be in health. But what we've kind of left out is really what that scripture is saying. And so I want to take just a moment to kind of set us up today for success as we move in to these passages that we're going to look at today. And that is, in your life, God says, look, here's what I want to happen for you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to prosper. I want you to have health. But here's how that takes place. That takes place. Give me a little license here to reinterpret scripture. That takes place as your soul prospers, or could I say it this way, as your understanding increases and grows. As your understanding grows, every aspect of your life grows. Let me prove that to you. Before you got saved, your understanding had to, first of all, determine that you were lost, that you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you were one who was in need of His redeeming qualities to come into your life. Then you had to believe that He had paid the price for your sins. Then you had to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. So your understanding had to grow. It had to increase. And so in our lives, what has to happen here, if we want to have provision, if we want to have wellness and wholeness in every aspect of our life, then our understanding needs to continually be growing. Here's what I want to say to you. If you still understand things in the spiritual walk with God the same way that you did 5 or 10 years ago, you're in trouble. Okay, we work on this periodically at this church. I give you really good times to say amen. That was one of them, and you missed it, and I'm not going to revisit it, all right? Here's what you have to understand, is that I have said for years that I will go back, and in the day it was cassette tapes, and then it moved to CDs, and now everything's, live and in color. But I would go back and listen to something that I preached 5 years, 10 years ago, and I'd be sitting there, and I'd say something, and I'd go, I don't believe that. You say, Pastor, you're preaching false doctrine. No, at the moment I preached it, I really believed it. But as my understanding grew, you got it? As I walked with God and He began to reveal more things to me, then I went, I don't believe that. I used to believe that, but I don't believe that anymore. And so that's what I'm saying to us is that God is more than enough. We know that. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. All those things. So because He's more than enough, I've got to come to that place where I'm living out day in and day out in my life. So let's talk about some things today. First of all, let me show you the purpose of provision, okay? In fact, this week's message goes right in alignment next week. In fact, they really wrap around each other in a great way, and so I hope you won't miss next week as well. Here's the first reason for provision, and that is to establish God's kingdom, okay? To establish God's kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these what? Things will be added or be given to you as well. So the one aspect that you're called to do, there are some things that you don't need to pray about. Did you know that? You say, Pastor, I thought I should pray about everything. No, you don't need to go to bed tonight and say, Lord, I pray the sun will come up tomorrow. It will. There's a song about it. Okay. Right? The son, you don't have to ask the son to come. You don't have to pray and, you know, go into deep travail and fasting. No, I hope the son can. The son's going to come up. Why? Because God set it in order. But God said there are some things you need to pray for, and you need to pray for them daily. And one of them is, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I have to, you have to, in your life, in your business, in your profession, day in and day out, you have to establish God's kingdom on a daily basis. And when we use that word kingdom, don't get real spiritual and float around. What that word kingdom means is God's way of doing things, okay? And so God said, pray, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Now watch what he said, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's what I know. The will of God is being done in heaven. You know that? If you don't believe that, ask Lucifer. He will tell you the will of God is done in heaven. And if you get out of the will of God, God has a way of rectifying it real quickly, okay? And so we know the will of God is being done in heaven. So God says to us, listen, here's what you need to do. I need you to establish. The reason I'm going to bless you, the reason I'm going to give provision to you is so that you can establish the kingdom of God upon this earth. There's a passage of scripture that became real to me a few years ago after a trip to Kenya. And that passage of scripture is the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. And it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, most of you know a little bit about my story. I was born in Africa. My parents were missionaries. I grew up in the church. Even when I tried to get away from the church, church people kept showing up. All right? And so I'm a church kid, so I've heard this all my life. And because of the way I'm wired, I'm a high D on the DISC profile, and I'm a type A personality. So I always read that scripture to say that the days are evil, we've got to redeem them. That meant that I had to run faster, do more, go, right? And that's the way that I kind of lived life. And my wife tells me I still do, but I'm trying, okay? But I began to ponder on that, we had been on a trip to Africa, and a lot of our pastors there, and most of you know we have, you know, many, many churches in Africa and the Philippines and other places, and a lot of our pastors live in one little village or one little town, and they walk to the next town. And so I was thinking about that, and this scripture was kind of going on, and I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was kind of like God said, you're not reading that right. And I said, Lord, help me to understand this passage. He said, you can redeem time with money. He said, the process of redeeming time is real easy with money. In fact, let me just quote this to you. You've all heard it. Time is money. Ever heard that? Time is money. If you don't believe that, you know, just know that. Time is money. And so what that means is the more provision that I have, the more I can establish God's kingdom. If I've got $100, I can establish a little bit. If I've got $1,000, I can establish it more. If I've got millions, some of you look at me funny, I can really establish the kingdom of God, and I'll prove that to you. The Bible says it this way. It says, how can they preach except they be sent? All right? And so I begin to think about that. We have pastors in some of these countries who literally walk 5 hours to get to the next village or town that they're going to preach in. And the Lord said, Eddie, you can redeem the time. And I said, Lord, how can I redeem their time? He said, can you buy a $200 bicycle? I said, Lord, I can buy a $200 bicycle. And all of a sudden, I just took that 5-hour walk down to about 2.5 or 3 hours. Because what did I do? I just redeemed, you got it? I just established the kingdom of God by provision that it came in my hand. So I got to think about it more. I thought, well, if I can do that with a bicycle, what could I do with a motorcycle? If I got $2,000, I can buy a motorcycle. And all of a sudden, now we've gone from 5 hours or 2.5 to 3 hours to maybe an hour or less. And in America, that would be maybe 2 people on a motorcycle. But no, friend of mine, in Africa and the Philippines, they can get 6 or 8 people on that motorcycle. So now not only have I redeemed it for that pastor, he's taking a whole entourage. His whole staff is going with him because for $2,000, are you getting it? I just established the kingdom of God. But if I jump up even more and say, Lord, I am so excited about this principle that I want to establish God's kingdom. I've got $10,000. I'm going to buy a car. All of a sudden, that 6-seater car becomes a 52-passenger bus. And they go in and evangelize the whole territory for the kingdom of God. Do you get the principle? You and I have the ability through provision to redeem the time and establish the kingdom of God. It's one of the most exciting principles to me. Maybe not to you, but it is one of the most exciting principles to me that I have seen in the last 10 or so years in my life, to know that God gives me the ability. I have the ability. You have the ability to redeem time for somebody and to help them establish the kingdom of God Almighty. The second reason that he gives provision is so that we can do good works. The book of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 8th verse, says it this way: and God is able to bless you, look at that next word, abundantly. Amen. Some of you need to settle that. Now, look what else he went on to say. He said, God's able to bless you abundantly. Now, read the rest of that in the next couple of words there. So that in all things, at all times. I have people tell me, well, Pastor, you just got to know. Sometimes you just got to go through the valley. Right? Sometimes you got plenty, and sometimes you don't have any. Come on, you start looking at me like that, I'm going to go old school on you. I'll start doing the huzz up here. All right? And we go through it. And yet, the Apostle Paul said, look, all things at all times. He said, you don't have to go, you can have the provision of all things at all times, having, look, this is a refrigerator scripture, people. You know what I mean? Having all that you need, so you will abound in every good work. God says, I want to give you abundance, I want to give you provision, so that you can live with all that you need all the time, so you can be a blessing to others. Now, there's three levels to live in. I'm going to do this quickly. Three levels to live in. The first level is when you take from others. We call that stealing, by the way. Now, I'm going to get politically incorrect, okay? So I set it up by telling you that, all right? But here's what I want to say to you. What do you mean by saying, well, Pastor, I'd never walk in and rob a bank. I'd never do this. Yeah, but if your boss hires you to work 8 hours and you're only working 6 hours, well, here we go. All right, you're having somebody clock you in and you're clocking out early and all, let me, can I go a step further? Can I just really get in trouble? If you are an able-bodied person who can work and you're drawing a disability check and you're living off of my money, I'm just saying, I paid my taxes. And you're able to work. I'm not talking about you're disabled. You're disabled, we understand. But you're able to work and you're not working, that's called taking what's not yours. Oh, I better get off that because I am getting in trouble. Second way that people live, and this is the way most people live. This is the way most Christians live. And that is that we work to have things. Okay? And that's really the realm that most Christians live in. Why are you working? Well, I'm working to pay for my house. I'm working to get a car. I'm working to send the kids to college. I'm working, and there's nothing wrong in that, but there's a higher level, okay? There's a higher level, and that's what I want to get to today, and that is to produce in order to give. The highest level is to produce in order to give. Let me show you out of Scripture where that is. The Word of God says that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, listen, I have received and I have given. I've been on both ends of the spectrum here. And here's what I know. It is more blessed to give than it is to be in the receiving mode, because before you can give, you have to have already received. All right? I can't bless you if I haven't already been blessed. I can't give to you if I already haven't been given to myself. And so the Scripture says, listen, people, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I want to put provision on you so you can do good works, but I want that to come into your life and to flow out of your life. I want you to live that kind of life. I promise you, through the years, Sherry and I have been blessed of the Lord in many, many ways, and at different times, we've been able to give people things. One of the things that we've done at different times is we've given people cars. But understand why I was able. The first time that Sherry and I gave somebody a car, it was because we had three cars. Okay? So I didn't need three cars. Two's plenty. So I was able, but I had to have received so I could give. So we've got to learn that it's not all about grabbing, like we talked about last week, grabbing a hold of that scarcity mentality, saying, oh, there's not enough to go around. It's coming to that place where we're living. God, I want your provision in my life so that I can be a blessing to others. The third reason this will mess with some of you, that God wants to bring provision into your life, is that God delights in your prosperity. That's a great word. God delights. It's a biblical word. God delights in our prosperity. Psalm 35, 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Now look what it says, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are parents? Both of you here and those of you watching, hold your hand, come on. All right? You're a parent. How many of you love it? I watched this morning here at North Campus, and we had several younger people on stage. You know, we had some who just graduated from high school and some who are in high school in our worship team today. And I can always tell when they're up here because their mamas and daddies worship a whole lot better when they're on the stage. Why? Because, man, we're proud of that kid. If you think that you take pleasure in the prosperity of your children, come on, people. Bible says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to them who ask Him? If you enjoy your children being blessed, how much more does God enjoy His children being blessed, right? See, God's a generous God. God's not stingy. God's generous. God wants to give. And you don't need to worry about, are you going to run out of what? No, if God starts running out, He'll just speak more into existence. Every time they get a new telescope, just reading recently, every time they get a new telescope, they find that there's more out there. There's more, and it's, why? Because God just said, let there be, and He never did say, let there stop. And so it's just still expanding. The universe is still expanding. As long as God doesn't stop it, it's going to continue to expand. Why? Because that's the kind of God He is. He's a generous God. The next aspect there is that God loves us. Somebody needs to hear this today. God loves you. He's not mad at you. I know the church has told you He was. He's not. He loves you. He loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to pay the penalty for your sins. That's love. So God loves us. So He says, I delight in that. God wants us blessed. God wants us to walk in blessing. Our offering buckets and our tithing envelopes say, blessed to be a blessing. God wants you blessed. See, God gave His all so that you can be your all. The Scripture says that this way. It says about Jesus, as though He was rich, for our sakes He became poor, through His poverty, that you and I would become rich. Now, I know it's talking about salvation. I got that. But when you look the word salvation up, it's the Greek word soteria, and it refers to everything, body, soul, and spirit. Everything about you, God says, I want you blessed. God wants to bless us. God wants to do great and powerful things in our life. The fourth thing is the reason God brings provision into our life is that He wants us to walk in freedom. He wants you in freedom. All right? There's nothing worse than walking around in bondage. And God says, I want you free. The book of Deuteronomy says this, the Lord will open the heavens and the storehouse of His bounty to send the rain on your land in season and to bless you with all the work of your hands. He said, I want you to do something, but I'm going to bless it supernaturally. And He goes on to say, you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Isn't that great? Then He goes on to say, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the tail. Come on, I got a revelation years ago. Scriptural revelation, no, but I got a revelation. If you're not the lead dog, the scenery never changes. You can pray about that, or your neighbor will have the interpretation, okay? See, He goes on to say, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. That's the kind of guy. He said, I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to live in freedom. I want you to be in freedom in everything. Now, what are those things? Three things, real quick. He wants us freedom from greed, okay? He does not want you to be greedy. Greed is natural. God is supernatural. You say, I don't believe greed is natural. Put a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old in the same room with 2,000 toys. You will find out greed is natural. The 6-year-old will not have played with that toy since they were one. But the 4-year-old will pick it up, and the 6-year-old will immediately say, see, I didn't even have to finish it, did I? Greed is natural. And the Lord says, I want you freed from greed. The book of Matthew there talks about that you can't serve two masters. You'll love one. You can't serve God and money, right? And so we want to be freed from greed. Here's what greed does. Greed says in our lives, if you want to define it a little bit, greed says, what do I want? Well, it's all about me, right? Mine. Greed says that money will make me happy. Can I tell you money won't make you happy? Some of the most miserable people I know have a lot of money. It won't make you happy. Now, next week we'll talk about money and what it does, and it can do a lot, but money won't make you happy. In fact, I read a study a few years ago that said they studied people to find out where was the maximum that you really, in your income and growing your income, where you just really got to, boy, this is really great, and then after that it kind of, went a little bit lower. And they said, when you're making $25,000 a year, you just say, man, if I could ever make $50,000, right? You get to $50,000, you say, man, if I could just make $75,000. Guess what happens when you make $75,000? Come on, you know what you're going to do. If I could only have $100,000. And they plotted this across a few years' study and research with people, and they found out, now, and some of you are going to say, man, if I could just get there, Pastor, I'd be thrilled. They said that once you hit about $75,000 to $80,000, that going to those next realms really did not add that much happiness to people. That at about $75,000, you can pretty well do what you want to, take care of your family, do all those things that you need to. You can take a vacation when you want to, enjoy life. But after that, it kind of just, it's buying other trinkets to play with and go put them in the closet or in the garage or whatever you do, and every 6 months you pull it out and play with it and put it back, right? And they said after about $75,000 to $80,000, you're really not seeing an increase in happiness. Why? Because at the end of the day, money can't buy happiness in your life. The second thing God wants us free from is that he wants us free from debt. All right, I'm not Dave Ramsey, but some of you need to get acquainted with Brother Dave. Some of you need to understand what a budget is. Boy, it gets quiet when Pastor really does good. Okay, some of you need to understand that every time you plop that credit card down, you don't pay it off at the end of the month, you're in trouble. All right? Because debt controls my today and my tomorrow. Debt messes with my security. The more debt you get, I promise you, the more insecure you are. Now, all debt's not bad. I'm not one of those guys that think, buying a house, I don't have a problem with some debt. But I have real problem with Christians who don't trust God enough, but they trust Visa and MasterCard and American Express. Because the borrower, according to Scripture, is servant to the lender. Debt controls my emotions. You don't believe that? Get in some debt. All of a sudden, that beautiful woman you married, you're saying, I can't believe how much money you spent at the grocery store. And she looks back at you and say, I can't believe how much groceries you eat every week. And all of a sudden, that handsome devil you married and that beautiful woman is there doing this because of the pressure of debt that's on you. God says, I want you free from it. I want you the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. The lender, not the borrower, he said. Lastly, he said, I want you to have the freedom to give. We talked about it last week, but let me just remind you, God owns it all. He created it. He made it. He made you. He placed you here. And even if you're not walking with Him in relationship, you're still His. He still loves you, first of all, let me tell you that. But He owns it all. He owns everything. The Bible says he owns the cattle of a thousand hills and the gold and the silver that's in those hills. But here's what I found through the years is that to get to the place where you live that open-handed lifestyle, you've got to settle something, and that is this: God owns it all, and secondly, God is my source, not man, not my job, not my profession. Okay? I don't want to be, you know, mean-spirited or whatever today in saying this, and please don't misquote what I'm saying, but I want to say to Love and True Church, you're not my source. You're not. I don't mean that in an arrogant manner at all. I thank God for this house. I thank God for this ministry that I've been allowed to lead all of these years. But you're not my source. You know, I know sometimes in churches people say, "Well, we'll starve the preacher out." You know, I've heard that. I've been around a while. I've been doing this a week or two. When you don't give your tithes and your offerings, you're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. Okay, because listen, God can send me down here to the river and send ravens to take care of me if He needs to. All right, if He can take care of 1 to 3 million rebellious Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, don't you think He'll take care of His son and daughter who's walking in fellowship with Him? Okay, and so you've got to come to that place where you understand that God is your source. Now, see, Sherry and I settled that when we got married. Before we got married, we made a decision that God was our source and we would make Him number one priority. Number one in our life. Every day, every week, every month, God, You have first place. And one of the things that we did is that we decided, now listen to what I'm going to say. Some of you are going to get nervous, but it's okay. We made a decision to be tithers. We said, we believe that God is our source, and on the very front of this marriage, when we get paid, if I make $1 an hour, 10 cents of it's God's. If I make $10 an hour, $1 of it is God's. And we set that as a principle. I came across, not long ago, we were doing some moving, some offices, and I came across some cash checks from when we went from Memphis Church to Adamsville, and there was like 30 people there. I was making, listen to what I'm going to say, I was making $125 a week. But you know what? We wrote that $12.50 tithe check every Saturday night, and we knew that God was our source. You know what's happened since then? I don't write a $12.50 check anymore. God has blessed us through the years. And I have testimony of hundreds and thousands of people who have learned the principle of saying, God, You're first in my life. I trust You with everything, and they give. And when they do, God always blesses them. And so this is not a sermon about money in the sense of tithing, but it is a sermon to you that if you will understand that God's your provider, you won't hold it so tightly, because you'll just say, Lord, it's all Yours anyway, and I'm already in a covenant relationship with You, and Your blessings are in my life. See, here's the deal. God blesses me so I can bless others. God says, you know what? I'm a provider. You know, you read the book of Genesis 1, 2, and 3, those chapters there, and you find that God is a provider. He begins by creating a world, and He puts a man and a woman in that world, and He says, everything is here. Just take it and use it. Use it. He said, now, oh yeah, there's one tree, leave it alone. Okay? Can you imagine one tree? I mean, if there was a, can you think, just go with Pastor for a moment. If there was only one sin to avoid, I've said for years, if I had been Adam, I would have called, remember cartoon days, I would have called Acme Fence Company. And I'd have put a 500-foot fence, and I'd have electrified that fence, because we're not going to mess this up. But guess what they did? They messed it up, didn't they? So God shows up, and those of you who know the story, God shows up that afternoon after they'd messed up, and they're over here hiding away from the Lord, and the Lord begins a dialogue with them, and he says, what's happened? And they said, Adam said, well, the woman, and men have been saying that for ever since, and the woman says, well, the serpent, and the serpent looks around and goes, there ain't nobody else. So, but God looks at the serpent, looks at Lucifer, actually, in personification there. And he said, here's what's going to happen. You've taken this provision that I've given. But he said, I've got another provision. In fact, the scripture says it this way. Before the foundation of the world, a lamb was slain. And so he said, here's what's going to happen, Satan. He said, I'm going to send one, and you're going to bruise his heel. In other words, you're going to put him on a cross, and you're going to see him die. But he's going to come forth 3 days later, and he's going to crush your head. And the Word of God lets us know that Jesus Christ came for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to pay my debt and to pay your debt. He came to this earth so that you and I could receive his provision. He hung on a cross. He died to provide salvation. And so it doesn't matter. Listen, he did this 2,000 years ago, and he paid every price of every person's sin that's ever going to live. And all I've got to do is let my understanding today say, God, I have not taken the provision, but I choose today to receive the provision you have for me. And if you'll do that today, you can leave this place knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. And that's the most exciting thing that can ever happen in any of our lives. Amen.